Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. I hope everybody remembered to turn your clocks up 1 hour with daylight savings time, because if you are listening to me this morning on KBOE 10.9 FM at 8:30, you are behind. So anyway, hopefully everybody remembered this morning to turn your clocks ahead. And also, too, it's just a reminder that spring is upon us. I tell you what, this past week with the weather was absolutely fantastic, and it was just good. We needed the rain. The rains are coming, and we just want to give a big shout out to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending the rain and the seasons as we need very much so to prepare the ground, to prepare the soil as the farmers make ready to plant the ground as they go into the spring. And we just want to thank you for that. Also, too, just a reminder, today we have a big event going on today, and you don't want to miss it. And it's today at Debbie Celebration Barn from 5 to 7 p.m. tonight. Now, I know they've forecasted rain, and it's supposed to be raining, but we want to encourage you. We'll have guys out there waiting for you with umbrellas, making sure that you can get in good, and it'll all be great. But we got food at 5 o'clock. You're not going to want to miss it, man. We've got a great person that caters for us, does a wonderful job. Then also, too, we have the Vital Ministries worship band that's going to be playing for us. Just some great worship. I've seen the set already. It's going to be exciting. And we're going to continue our series as we are today called The Kingdom of God. And we're going to do something different. The teaching won't be what you hear this morning. It will be different for tonight. But I just encourage you, don't miss it, from 5 to 7 p.m., Debbie Celebration Barn. Vital Gathering is tonight. Don't miss it. We would love to have you. Great time of fellowship. Great time to bring. It's for the whole family as well, everybody. A lot of times people get mixed up with thinking this is only a men's event only, but it is for the family. So you do not want to miss out on that as well. Also, too, another event that's coming up is the second weekend in June. It is our men's motorcycle trip, and we are headed to La Crosse, Wisconsin, a three-day weekend from a Friday to a Sunday, and you're going to want to make sure that you get and make preparations ahead of time. You can either sign up either on the website or give me a call at 641-660-7715 or use my email address, mike.serig, S-E-R-E-G, @gmail.com. It's going to be a great time of fellowship for men as we get outside, enjoy the beautiful scenery of what God has created, go up to the great state of Wisconsin, do some motorcycle trip riding. We will be having devotional time, prayer time, and just a great time of fellowship for men as we go out and celebrate being who we are in Christ as men. And I think it'll be a great time for us just to grow in our faith. So you don't want to miss that as well. Just some really good stuff. But we're continuing our series, The Kingdom of God, this morning. And we're going to be talking about what it means, how that plays out. And I think a lot of times as we think the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, it's important for us to realize that even though it's where the God the Father is at and also where Jesus is at, but Jesus says, he reminds us that we are close to the kingdom of heaven when we are following in relationship with the Lord, when we're following a relationship with Jesus Christ, when we're following a relationship with the Father. It's then we come, it says the kingdom of God comes near. And that's why I get so excited about Vital Gathering. Because Vital Gathering, I think, gives us an opportunity where we can have moments of what I call the kingdom of God, where the kingdom of heaven comes to us and we have those incredible moments and God just breaks through in his presence. And I believe we've got some really cool things tonight for Vital Gathering, that the kingdom of God is going to come in a special way. So again, as I shared earlier, but that's part of our teaching today. But we're going to talk about the illegitimate brother. We're going to talk about Jephthah. And this morning, I want you to think about this for a minute. Life isn't always easy, is it? Especially if you have a past. And sometimes in our past, don't you find it interesting that sometimes the closest people to us remind us of our past? Now, I mean, family members, that's big time. Family members that sometimes are always eager to remind us of a past. This past week, I had an opportunity to meet with a young man, and he's got an addiction, and he's just struggling, and he's married, he's got a young baby, and all that stuff that's going on in his life. And in that addiction, it's got his grips on him. The enemy has got a hold of him big time. And one thing I find interesting is it's passed down from another generation. And in that generation, he has one of his parents is actually struggling in the same addiction. And one of the things he reminded me of this, he says, in order to be close to that parent, that they would have to go and do that addiction together in order to have that time. And I find that interesting because here's this young man, he's trying to break that addiction, and you would think the parent would help them, but the parent can't help themselves. And so what's happening is the past of his parent is being implemented on the past of himself. And I told him, I said, you can be the man of God that God has called you to be, but you just got to choose, and only by the power of the Holy Spirit and putting good people around you are you ever truly going to break that addiction. And I think in those moments like that, I just pray for God's help because it's hard to discern. It's hard to know what to say. I come from a family of alcoholic addiction. Has been in our Sarig family big time, and also too on my mom's side of the family as well. So there's a lot of generations that get passed down and passed down upon. So finally it came to the generation of my brother and I, and that alcohol addiction, folks, I got to say, praise the Lord, was broken. But I also got to say, praise the Lord, because I had a father who made a choice to break the addiction within himself and sought help. And I remember a lot of times we want to say that an addiction is something that is a disease. And I want you to hear me on this, folks. Addictions are not diseases. They are sin. And when we break that sin, addiction is when we overcome the enemy. And only by the power of the Holy Spirit can we break that sin and the sin of that addiction. Our society, folks, I've got to say, has got it wrong. Addictions, again, are not diseases. Addiction is sin. And it can be multiple things. It can't be necessarily, because we always want to push somebody who is doing drugs or alcohol or smoking. But there's a lot more. We have obesity. We have people who want to spend. We have people who gamble. There's so many different addictions that are out there. And again, what happens is when it becomes and it consumes us, then it becomes part of us and it becomes sin in our life. And with that being said, when we break those addictions, when we break those things, sometimes people from our past, family or friends, remind us, hey, you know you have a past. And Jephthah, he was this. He had a past. But before we jump into what the Bible says about this man this morning, let's find out a little bit about who Jephthah really was. Jephthah was the son of Gilead, which was his father, and he was born from a prostitute. I find that interesting. We're going to see that this morning in the Bible, how that's spoken out. But here's another thing that happens to Jephthah as we're going to read this morning. Jephthah is driven away by family, his brothers, because he was considered an illegitimate child. But really, the bottom line of it was this. They wanted all the money. They did not want him to participate in the money that was going to be passed down from their father. So they drove him out of town. The next thing we see about Jephthah, he moves to the land of Tob. Isn't that an interesting name? I moved to Tob. Yeah, I think it's interesting. Even sometimes we go to these different communities and these names are kind of unique. But this is what happens. He goes to Tob and he lives amongst a gang of scoundrels, it says in the Bible. But we're going to find out those men were pretty incredible men at the time. And also, too, another thing that we find about Jephthah is noted in the Bible as a mighty warrior and has served as a judge over Israel for 6 years. So let's jump in this morning. If you got your Bibles, maybe you're traveling down the highway today, you're listening. Thank you for listening to KBOE 104.9 FM. Also, too, many of you have shared with me that you're on your way to church. I want to thank you for taking time on your way to go to church and turn on the radio and listen to Vital Ministries. Thank you so much. And many of you share with me, Mike, I'm at home or at our business. I had somebody reach out this past week from a business up in New Sharon and said, hey, Mike, we got you turned on every Sunday morning and we're listening to you. I want to say thank you for listening and participating in Vital Ministries as we never know who's listening. We really don't. And and we speak and we do things, and I just want to be led by the Holy Spirit and what God is leading us. But let's talk this morning. Point number one is this, a troubled past. So let's look at chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and see what it says this morning. It says, "Now Jephthah of Gilead was a great warrior. He was the son of Gilead, but his mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also had several sons, and when these half-brothers grew up, they chased Jephthah off the land. 'You will not get any of our father's inheritance,' they said, 'for you are a son of a prostitute.' So Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Soon he had a band of worthless rebels following him." Now here's some interesting things that we get out of this first point. Now, as we looked at a troubled past, we see Jephthah, without a doubt, has a past. And it really wasn't a past that had anything to do with him, but it had to do with his father. Now, I find it interesting. His father was named Gilead, but he had, with his wife, he said that he had several sons. But it says he steps out of his marriage and has intimacy with a prostitute. Now, I find it interesting. A lot of times we feel like in those circumstances, especially today, when people are an illegitimate child or something like that, man, it was really looked down on. You were cast away. You were not considered to be a good person all because of what your mother or where your father past might have came. And that's what was going on with Jephthah. His dad steps out, lies with the prostitute, and has a son. But yet this son, this man by the name of Jephthah, is written in the Bible. And that gives us hope this morning, because it also helps us to remember, folks, is this. There's legitimacy. There's worth in every person that's born. And that's why I think so much of it's important for us to hold the line, especially this morning as we think about this. And I'm not going to go down this rabbit trail too hard this morning. But having abortions, what happens is we are casting away life that was created in the image of God. And also, too, that life has importance. The Bible definitely declares that abortion is wrong. And folks, I'm going to tell you something this morning with a hedge of protection over about what I'm about to say, but I'm going to speak truth. If your church is telling you that abortions are okay, then you're in the wrong place. You need to go where they speak truth. It's important for us to follow what God's voice says. Now, I've had many people come up against me about that, and they said, "Mike, there's provisions for that." Well, anyway, I don't see there's any provisions from what I read in my Bible. So, with that being said, out of a prostitute, a woman, came a man of Jephthah. But see, another interesting thing is we look at this morning, it says that Jephthah also had a bunch of brothers, half-brothers. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Jesus had many half-brothers too. His mom, which was Mary, Mary was conceived, had the Holy Spirit came over her, it says in the Bible. So technically, that's how Jesus was perfected in his bloodline, because he came from the Father himself, but he also came from man, which was Mary. So his father, Joseph, was simply a stepdad, and to his other brothers and sisters, he was a half-brother. And man, isn't it interesting how God works some amazing things? But here's some, now Jephthah's brothers, they drove him away. They said, "You don't deserve the inheritance. You don't deserve part of the inheritance as our father has passed. You don't deserve it." And I find this so interesting how this divides family inheritance, especially when you have parents who pass away. And people will fight and get angry, and they will never speak to each other. Siblings will never speak to each other over inheritance. And that is not worth it. And I think about this, about these men. So they drive their brother to another community, Tob. He leaves the city of Gilead and goes to another town. And when he goes there, because you see the leadership that God, because it's noted again in the Bible that Jephthah is called a great warrior, a mighty man of valor. God's anointing is on this man, even though he runs to another community. And when he goes there, he's hanging around a bunch of scoundrels. And that's exactly as we read later on in the Bible, in 1 Samuel, King David does the same thing. He gets run out of town by King Saul, and he's hiding in a cave. And next thing you know, These other men see his leadership abilities, seeing that he is their anointing, that God does something and brings these men alongside of him. And like King David, Jephthah is a mighty man of valor. He's a warrior. And I want to encourage you, people out there this morning, as you listen to me, again, our past does not have to define who we are. In Christ, our path will always refine us if we stay the course and know who God is. But let's keep going this morning. Point number two, we need your help. And let's look at what happens here with Jephthah. It says this, at about this time, the Ammonites began their war against Israel. When the Ammonites attacked, the elders of Gilead sent for Jephthah in the land of Tob. The elders said, come and be our commander. Help us fight the Ammonites. But Jephthah said to them, aren't you the ones who hated me and drove me away from my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble? Because we need you, the elders replied. If you lead us in battle against the Ammonites, we will make you ruler over all the people of Gilead. Jephthah said to the elders, let me get this straight. If I come with you, and if the Lord gives me the victory over the Ammonites, will you really make me your ruler over all the people? The Lord, as they make this reply, they said, the Lord is our witness. We promise to do whatever you say. So Jephthah went with the elders to Gilead, and the people made him the ruler and the commander of the army at Mizpah in the presence of the Lord. Jephthah repeated what he had said to the elders. Now here's some interesting things. Here's these men that literally drove him out of town. And they see him nothing as an illegitimate child. And now all of a sudden they're in trouble and they know what kind of warrior this man is, Jephthah is. He's a fighter. He's a guy that goes out and gets it done. He's the man who's not afraid to get in front of a problem and grab it by the throat and throw it down to the ground. I don't know about you folks, but I love hanging around men who ain't afraid of conflict. Now, we want to do the conflict right, and we're going to see that, how he does that, how he negotiates. But he's not afraid of the conflict. He goes after it. He stares it in the face. And sometimes, folks, when you go after that conflict, sometimes you literally have to grab it by the throat and throw it to the ground instead of dancing around it and not doing anything about it. And that's what I love about this. But he reminds them, aren't you the guys that told me to leave? And I find it interesting, the elders. It's the elders of the town that come and ask him, we need your help. We need you to lead our army against the Ammonites. We want you to be our leader, and we will make you leader, not only of the army, but if you lead our army, and if you're victorious, we will make you leader of Israel. Now, Jephthah keeps coming back at him, but he reminds the leaders, aren't you the ones who drove me out? And now you need my help. And I find this interesting as he goes, because I got a question for you to think about this morning. Have you ever had someone judge you wrongly, and then later they asked you for your help? And I tell you what, there's so many times when I think about that in my own life, about somebody who judges you wrongly, who judges you from your past, or judges you from things that have happened in the past of your life. And a lot of times, as I live in the community I've been a general contractor, a builder for all of my life. And I can remember my early start when I was being a general contractor of having Eye of the Tiger. And by all means, how I handled things was not correct. I learned along the way, but it was through the tough learning. I without a doubt, had some my knees were bleeding and scuffs on my elbows and things about failing along the way that I wish I could take back. But once Jesus got a hold of my life, he helped me to see that I could be a different kind of leader. I didn't have to lead with what I thought the only way that you could lead with is of my way or the highway kind of thinking, but leading in such a way that you lead people instead of drive people. And I think that's where a lot of people get mixed up, is leadership. We're not called to drive, we're called to lead. And that's what Jephthah was doing. Jephthah was being called to leading the people. And I want to encourage you that as you sometimes you go back in the past. But I want to show you something this morning of how he negotiates. Because if you look at Judges chapter 11, 12 through 28, you will see Jephthah as he negotiates. Let's read just a little bit of that this morning so we get started. So it says this. Then Jephthah sent messengers to the king of Ammon, asking, "Why have you come out to fight against my land?" Then the king of Ammon answered Jephthah's messenger, "When the Israelites came out of Egypt, they stole my land from the Ammon River to Jabbok River and all the way to the Jordan. Now, then, give back the land peacefully." So Jephthah, he sends four messages. And in those messages, there's a lot of reading here, and I just want to touch on them, and I encourage you to go and read that for yourself in Judges chapter 11. But he sends out four messages. And in the messages, this is what he says. Message number one, he presents facts of history to the king of the Ammonites. He reminded them of the past, of one time when Moses, back several hundred years ago, asked for safe passage through their territory in which they owned. Moses does it in a right way. He negotiates. Matter of fact, you can look at that in Numbers chapter 21, verses 21 through 35. But the interesting thing is the Ammonite people there, again, they denied Moses' request. So they went back, and so they had war. And God gave the victory to Israel. He's reminding the king today, what happened back then will happen again. But he's doing it in a peaceful way. He's negotiating. Hey, this is our land. Message number two, he does this. He tells them, sorry, my phone. Everybody knows my ringtone now this morning. I love this because, folks, I'm just real, and sometimes things aren't always perfect, and they're not perfect on the radio as well. But this morning, I want to tell you about the second message this morning, and this is what it says. The second message tells us that the Lord had already given the land to Israel. Jephthah was always careful that he gave God glory and God victory over Israel. He tells King Ammon of the Ammonites. He says, he reminds them in a humbling way, God will give us victory. Then the third message is this. He says, Israel has lived here for centuries. Matter of fact, we have lived here 300 years. And now you want the land back? You think you have claim to it already? We have lived here. Why would you come and take our land? Now, I find that interesting as I read this because in the first time in my own life, I have bought a small farm. I've actually owned 50 acres, just purchased it recently. I have never been a large landowner of any piece of property. I've always lived on a lot. I've built a house, and I've lived on it. And the most I've ever lived on would be 3 acres of property. But now I live on 50 acres of property. Matter of fact, there's a fencing on the biggest portion of most of it. And I find it interesting that now I see a lot of those fences that are bad shape or some of them are gone. Man, I want to put those fences back up because this is my land. This is a new season. This is a new time. And that's what Jephthah was trying to say. You know what? This is our land. We've lived here for 300 years and we're not going to give it up. And then he makes this fourth negotiation. He says this, Jephthah tells them, "You're fighting against the Lord." Jephthah didn't want war. It was the Ammonites who were declaring war against them, and he reminds them of that. And he reminds the King Ammon, he says this, "You declare war on us, it will only bring disaster and defeat on you and on your people, because the Lord goes before us and he fights for us." I think it's important for us today to realize that as we bring that how we are today. I think there's been more, never in my lifetime that I could ever say that there has been more disheartening of what is going on within our nation, within our country. And I see the land, the spiritual land, the enemy is coming and trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Take it away. Take it away from the very foundations of what it was first established. And it's easy for us to get our eyes focused on that and stay there. But folks, we are in a spiritual battle. We are in a battle that we have got to be in prayer for. And this morning, the other morning, I had an opportunity, and I'll eat breakfast at Julie's Cafe in Oskaloosa. And I love it when one of our state representatives comes in by the name of Ken Rosenboom and has breakfast with the men in front. And I always appreciate his gracious words and his kindness. And he's an older gentleman, but yet he's in the fight, and he's fighting for what's right and fighting for what's good. Ken is a man of God, and he loves Jesus. Same with many of the other ones. I think of so many. Holly Brink, for another example, she's another one of our state representatives, and so many, many others that love Jesus and are fighting for what's right in our nation at the state level. And folks, we need to be praying for them. And also, too, I want to encourage you this morning. I'm challenged this morning to be praying for even more so for those that are over us in high places. And what I'm saying about that is actually is praying for our president and that administration. You know what? I don't agree with what is being done by any means. But this morning, if we truly want to have the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven come to us, we have to act that out. So I'm going to encourage you today to be praying for those that are over us. Doesn't mean that we agree with them. And I don't agree with the administration, the current administration of what is going on. But what I can do is I can be in prayer and ask God to help them as he helps us. So let's pray this morning. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that we can look at the life of Jephthah, a man who was considered a half-brother, an illegitimate man from a prostitute, and yet you made him a judge over Israel. And Lord, today I pray this morning over our people who rule over us. I pray for those that are in the White House, from all the way from the president to the vice president to the House to the Senate, to those men and women who are leading. Lord, we need revival in our land more than we've ever had. And Lord, I pray right now that you would change those hearts that are going against, fighting against what's true, fighting against what's light. That the darkness that has come over them, Lord, that you would bring, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and be with them today. Help them to see the very things, the decisions and the orders and the laws that they're creating are against your will. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would go and be with them today. And Lord, I'm thankful for that we have a governor in our state that does a wonderful job. Governor Reynolds is a woman who's really trying to do things right, and she's also a woman who has faith. I pray for her today, as well as those that are in the state, that are in the House and in the Senate, as it trickles all the way down to our communities. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Help us to be men and women of valor, men and women who fight for you. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, just quick reminder, again, we have Vital Gathering tonight from 5 to 7 at Debbie's Celebration Barn. You're not going to want to miss it. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.